When Ricky asked me to stand before you and share my story, I was more than a bit apprehensive. Then, after we scheduled my talk for February 13th, I realized I would be speaking after Bishop Curry. So you might be wondering why I accepted this opportunity to speak, given all of the powerful talks that have come before me today. But as the mother of three small children, all under the age of seven, I could not pass up the chance to talk for 10 uninterrupted minutes. Today, I'm talking about stewardship. I know that many of you have already turned in your pledges, but stewardship is more than money. Stewardship is also that something, and that something is the church. It's about taking care of that, and it's more than just this building or the priest. It is also us, the people. Yes, of course, money is part of the caretaking. The church has bills and salaries and programs that it funds. But for me, stewardship is about taking care of the people, taking care of each other. I grew up in an Episcopal church in Wilmington, North Carolina. The church, which started in 1972 at the local YMCA, soon moved to its own building. The Church of the Servant was where my mother taught and my sister and I attended Sunday school. At that time, there were probably only about 20 families involved with this grassroots church. I watched how a small group of families committed to growing an open and accepting Christian community embraced the concept of stewardship. To be honest, I was so young that, like most children, church was more of something that I had to do than what I chose to do. And much like my own children, my favorite parts were the cookies and the other fun events. It was my mother who made sure that Liza and I got dressed and made it to church on Sundays. And as I grew, she would ask me my thoughts on the homily. She engaged me in her faith. She loved the service and the homilies, but most of all, she loved the people. In 1984, my mother was diagnosed with metastatic cancer. And in 1985, she passed away after a year of intensive chemotherapy, resulting in debilitating weight loss, nausea, vomiting, and hair loss. She was 34. I was 14. Her death shattered my heart and soul. Her death made me question my faith. Why her? Why did God let this happen? Within this Episcopal community, I found people who humbly replied they did not know why. Instead of preaching to me, this little parish was simply there for me, cooking meals, driving me to church, even paying my expenses so that I could attend an Episcopal youth retreat, allowing me the opportunity to explore my beliefs in God and Christ, and through that shared exploration, strengthened my faith. They took care of me, much like a family. There are two programs offered here at St. Paul's which especially remind me of the Church of the Servant. The first is the Care and Share Ministry, which organizes the meals, the driving, and the caring for those in our church who are in need. Care and Share provides our parish with the simple necessities that bolster one's faith in God and Christ in those times of need, just as that type of support helped me through a difficult time in my life. In other words, stewardship. The other program, the Center for Hope and Healing, offers support to both parishioners and the community at large. A place such as this did not exist when my mother passed away. A place like CHH would have provided the means for my father, sister, and I to deal with the loss of my mother together rather than by ourselves. So knowing that there are such dedicated volunteers here at St. Paul's who are willing to bring this center to life is both comforting and inspirational. But our stewardship here at St. Paul's is more than just formal programs. You, the parishioners, have created an incredible atmosphere of caring for one another. I'm continually amazed because you not only accept and tolerate, but you welcome and embrace. Through your genuine smiles, your kind words, your authenticity, and your sincerity, together, you define St. Paul's. Since day one, I have felt more connected and welcomed as an adult at St. Paul's Church than at any other church that I have attended. On that first day here, our eldest son, Connor, crawled under the pew in front of us. Now, I don't know how you would feel if your son was crawling on the floor during a service. But for me, on that first day of attending a new church, I was mortified. As the mother of the family in front of us turned around, my face went red. But instead of giving us a dirty look, she smiled warmly and said, "We've got three boys. We understand. No worries." Immediately, my feelings of embarrassment changed to relief. Wow, I realized. We were amongst parishioners who truly seemed to understand. We were in a church of stewards, supportive and welcoming to all, especially children. Just this past Friday night, Sally mentioned the important role children play in our church, and for me, it is the children's programs that I am especially grateful for at this time in my life. Children's Chapel, if you can listen, it's pretty quiet. And it's almost this quiet at the 9 a.m. service when I bring my children, and that's because my two boys go to the chapel with about 50 other children. St. Paul's offers Children's Chapel about 100 times throughout the year, but it's only taught by about 15 different volunteers. Other examples of the children's programs that I'm compelled to call out are the preschool and the kids club, both of which have welcomed and accepted all three of our children, but most of all, our 20-month-old daughter, Riley. You see, within this past year, we discovered that Riley has seizures. She has been diagnosed with epilepsy. David and I have spent the last 7 months grappling with the unknown. We know that the doctors call a seizure an electrical storm in her brain, but no one knows why she has the seizures. We don't know when or if she'll have one, and we don't know how or if it will eventually impact her. When I approached the directors of the kids' club and the preschool to explain, Riley's seizures were unpredictable and completely debilitating. They could have told me that her condition precluded her from participating. Instead, the kids' club staff and preschool staff became trained on what Riley's seizures would look like, as well as what to do were she to have one. These two places, run by people with unrivaled compassion, have welcomed our baby girl and my family into their midst. And by welcoming her, they have allowed me to move forward and continue to worship and volunteer my time here at St. Paul's with great peace of mind that my daughter will be well taken care of, and we are entirely grateful to them for their stewardship. We have over 50 ministries here at St. Paul's, many of which I hope to participate in as my family grows and gains experiences, each of which offers a nurturing environment for members to demonstrate their love of God, Christ, and each other. Each of them offers an opportunity to be a steward of this magnificent community we call St. Paul's. Today, I am asking you to continue to be stewards of this church, much like the parishioners of the Church of the Servant were to me, and the kids' club and the preschool are for Riley. Together, we can continue preserving St. Paul's through our pledges, as well as the atmosphere, that precious spirit of caretaking. Continue welcoming noisy, curious children. Continue to volunteer your time, or perhaps begin volunteering, even just a few hours a year. Please continue to take care of those around you who volunteer so much of their time already. Please continue your stewardship. David and I are inspired by all of you who give so much of yourselves. You inspire us to be better members, better people, and stewards because of all that you do. Thank you for your time.